We come to another of these wonderful questions asked by the Lord Jesus Christ. We find here in Luke chapter 2 that Mary and Joseph have taken themselves on a journey only to find themselves separated from the Saviour. And they return to Jerusalem to find him sitting amongst the doctors and lawyers, both asking and answering questions. Well, they asked, the Saviour asked the question there in verse 49 that we want to consider this evening. How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not, or do ye not know, that I must be about my Father's business? So this afternoon we want to look at the subject of seeking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every year in Australia, approximately 20,000 children are reported missing. That's one in every 26 minutes, which is quite a staggering thought when you think about it. Now, most of those that are reported missing typically are found safe and well within the first 24 hours. Common reasons for children going missing include a breakdown in communication with their parents, or maybe disciplinary issues at home. Many of them are found either at a friend's house or even with another family member. Thankfully, stranger abductions are relatively rare, but I think they're probably every parent's worst nightmare. Well, here in Luke chapter 2, we find another story involving a missing child. And the child in question is not just any child, it is the young child, Jesus. And we're given an insight into his early home life. And it's quite interesting when we read the story that while Mary and Joseph could not find the young Jesus, that he wasn't really lost at all. In fact, he was safe and secure in his father's house. But the passage is nonetheless quite intriguing, and it's rather quite important for a number of reasons. We have in this second chapter of Luke the first recorded words from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's important. The first words that we have recorded of our Saviour are found here in this passage. The story is also significant because it gives us our only glimpse into the early life of the Lord Jesus. We know that his earthly ministry began at around the age of 30, but we know very little about his life before that. And this passage gives us one of the only indications that we have about his early life. And now, with that being said, there are still some wonderful lessons for you and I to glean from this passage. And as we've mentioned already, Mary and Joseph find the Lord Jesus missing from their lives. And I suspect that there are times when we, like them, have assumed that the Lord is near, only to find as we continue to travel on in our life that we realize that we have missed the Lord Jesus Christ. We have lost him or left him behind at some point in our journey. And we want to see what we need to do in order to remedy that situation and to seek and to find again the Lord of glory. So let's look at this passage in Luke chapter 2. And the first thing I leave with you this afternoon is the possibility of leaving without the Lord. Leaving without the Lord. I once heard a story of a couple that were standing in line at a check-in desk at an airport. They're getting ready to fly to their holiday location. And the husband turned to his wife and said, "You know, I wish we had brought the piano with us." His wife looked at him and said, "Well, why would you want to bring the piano with you on holiday?" He says, well, it's not really that I need the piano, but that's where I left the tickets. So maybe you've left the tickets on the piano at some stage, but there's a possibility that we can go through life and we're set upon the path that we're due to go on, only to realize at some point that we have left behind the most important thing. And that's what happened with Mary and Joseph. The whole family, as was their custom, have visited the great city of Jerusalem. They're there to take part and to celebrate in the great feast of their religion. They're there for the Passover. Verse 43 tells us that when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. They left without their son. And in so doing, they remind us very much of ourselves, who at times will begin a venture out in life only to have left the Lord Jesus behind. We have gone out plotting our own course, going our own way, and we have gone out without the presence of the Lord going with us. So there are a few things here from the life of Mary and Joseph that will, I trust, speak to us this afternoon. I want you to notice what happens in verse 44, where the initial problem lies. They supposing, they supposing him to have been in the company went a day's journey. You see, there's the first problem. Their supposition. They have supposed that the Lord Jesus would be with them, but they didn't check. And so they continued on a day's journey and realized, to their alarm no doubt, that he was no longer with them. It's most likely that they were traveling in a large caravan of people from Nazareth down to Jerusalem, down for the feast, and then after it was all over, to head back again in that large company to their home place. It kept everyone safe upon the roads. You didn't have to worry so much about bandits or highwaymen. There was company, there was fellowship. You could send your children off to play with the neighbours and you could have an hour to yourself. There's all kinds of benefits. Now they're heading back. Mary and Joseph supposed that the Lord Jesus was with them. They're working off an assumption. Now that's a dangerous thing, especially when it comes to the Christian life. It's dangerous for us to suppose certain things to be true, or to assume certain things, certain knowledge that isn't actually in place. The Christian life is not lived are based upon suppositions or assumptions, but upon firm convictions. We live for the Lord and we walk with him based upon what we know to be true, not upon what we hope to be true or what we assume to be true. And I say that because there are many that assume themselves to be Christians because they attend a church. And they assume that the Lord is therefore with them. I forget what old preacher it was that said that going to a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going into a garage makes you a car. It's not the same. Some people assume or suppose that because their morality is a step higher than their neighbor's, that it's somehow evident that they are in a better relationship with God. It's a faulty assumption. We ought not to suppose that the Lord is in our company simply because we call ourselves Christian. You can attend a church. You can attend the services. You can go through the motions and still not be any closer to the Lord. It's a dangerous thing to assume that the Lord is present and active in our lives. Mary and Joseph, supposing the Lord Jesus to be with them, actually left him behind. They left without the Savior. And their supposition led to a separation. Because they didn't take time to ensure that the Lord Jesus actually was with them, we find that they traveled an entire day's journey, separating themselves step by step from the presence of the Lord. Every step they took them a step further away from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a very sobering thought. That if somehow we have missed the presence of the Lord in our lives, assuming him to be present when actually he isn't, that every step that we take actually takes us further away from him. And they're separating themselves from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's an interesting principle at work here in this story. And it's a picture of the difference between a relationship and fellowship. While they were separated by distance, the Lord Jesus was still Mary's son. That relationship was still intact. However, she could not speak to him. She could not hear his voice. She could not reach out and touch him. Was there a relationship? Yes. Was there fellowship? No. And in much the same way, we as believers, as we carry out our journey through life, maybe assuming that the Lord Jesus is with us, finding later that he's not, that we have left him behind. Is he still our Savior? Yes. Are we still Christians? Yes. That relationship has not changed. However, we cannot communicate with him as we once did. We don't hear his voice or sense his touch as we once did. There was a time when our fellowship with him was one that was close, but now we are at a distance. The relationship is still there. The fellowship, however, is sadly missing. And I think we can all probably look and examine our lives and realize that there are times that we walked closer with the Lord than what we do currently. There was a time that we read his word, that we prayed to him, that we talked to him continually. And perhaps now there are times that we can go for days, weeks, months, I fear to say years, without really being close to him. When was the last time we were truly close to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not saying we should doubt our relationship to him, but there has been a separation, there's a lack of fellowship. They were finding themselves supposing the Lord to have been with them, but in reality they were separating themselves from him more and more. And I don't think it's something that we do on purpose. I don't know of any Christian who desires to be further away from the Lord. It's something that happens, well, a bit like Mary and Joseph, through carelessness, through negligence. It wouldn't have taken very long to have ensured that the Lord Jesus was with them, but, well, maybe they were preoccupied with other things. Maybe there were friends and neighbours that they wanted to see first. And the relationship, while still intact, there's been a lack of fellowship with them. And so we find them leaving the Lord Jesus Christ behind. Now, we're thankful that having left him behind, that it wasn't very long until they realized that something was missing. And that's good. If we're truly Christians, we'll realize before too long when the Lord is not with us. And that's what happens. Having tarried for a day's journey and then realizing that the Lord Jesus was not with them, we're told in verse 44, the supposing him to have been in the company went a day's journey, and they sought him amongst their kinsfolk and acquaintance. We find them beginning to look for the Lord Jesus. Those who left him behind are now beginning to look for him. There's a problem, however. They're looking in the wrong place. They sought him amongst their kinsfolk and acquaintances. They thought perhaps they might find him amongst their friends and their relatives. They still assume that the Lord Jesus is somewhere in their group. They haven't seen or heard from him in a while, and they begin to look for him, but they're looking in the wrong place. They begin to look amongst their acquaintances, but he's not there. To be like Mary and Joseph, to be travelling along in life, supposing everything to be going well, only to realise that you haven't heard from the Lord in quite a while, and you've missed his presence, and you haven't heard his voice, and you begin to wonder where he is, and you begin to look amongst your friends and acquaintances, but he's not there either. You've not only gotten astray from the Lord, but you find yourself in company where the Lord is not to be found. There needs to be an honest review that takes place. And having assumed that the child Jesus was somewhere in the group, they begin to look for him. They travel amongst the other families and throughout the caravan, calling for him, searching after him, wondering where he might be, only to find that all of their assumptions and suppositions were false. He wasn't with them at all. It's good to have that kind of review at times. Paul tells us that we are to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. Take a look at your life. Take a stock of everything that's going on. Is there evidence there that the Lord Jesus is actually with you? Is there anything substantial that you can point to that says that the presence of the Lord is with me? Can you point perhaps to your Bible, to portions of his word where God has spoken to you recently? Or you can point to prayers that he's answered. Is there anything of substance that you can say with certainty that it proves that the Lord is near? We need this review. And they have reviewed their situation, and they found the Lord is not with us, and he's not amongst our company and our acquaintances here. This is the kind of honesty that we need to take an account of our spiritual condition. Are we spiritually healthy before the Lord? Is our relationship with him and our fellowship to him intact? Or could it be, like Mary and Joseph, that we actually find that we're further away from him than what we ever could have imagined? And so we find those who left the Lord now beginning to look for the Lord. And having reviewed their situation and looked amongst their kinsfolk and their acquaintances, they realize that he's not here. We're not going to find the Lord in this present company. So notice what they do. Verse 45 tells us, "And when they found him not," that is amongst their kinsfolk and acquaintances, "they turned back again to Jerusalem." Their review leads to a return. Having searched for him and not found him where they supposed him to be, what did they do? They returned to the last place that they saw him. They've recognized that they've left him somewhere behind. They found him not, and they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And I think there's a wonderful answer in that little verse, and tremendous help for us. If we find ourselves estranged and separated from our Saviour, how in the world can we ever find him again? Well, the answer is very clear. We will find him where we left him. He will be in the last place that we communed with him and had contact with him. If you find the Lord of glory missing from your life, go back to the last place that you spoke to him. You'll likely find him there. Think upon the last time that you knew his touch upon your life, that you sensed his presence. That's undoubtedly where you'll find him. So having reviewed their situation, they returned to Jerusalem. I want you to notice what happens when they come to Jerusalem. They began to search for him. 3 days. I'm sure they were torturous days. I'm sure their hearts were filled with dread and panic as they went through the streets of Jerusalem, retracing their steps. Is he here? Is he there? What about over there? Going through the streets with all kinds of fear and dread. Where could he be? Will we ever see him again? Will we ever hear his voice again? I'm sure it's with tears rolling down their cheeks that Mary and Joseph look for the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 5, in a letter to the church at Ephesus, the Lord Jesus offers these words. He said to them, Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works. In other words, go back to where you started going astray. Get back to where you were when you knew the Lord's blessing upon your life. So, leaving without the Lord Jesus Christ, now we find them looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. And eventually, having found him in the temple, they're about to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 48, we read, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. In her panicked state, Mary seeks to correct her son, but instead of teaching him, she's going to receive a lesson herself. The Lord Jesus looked at her and said to her, How is it that ye sought me? How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not, know ye not, that I must be about my Father's business? Why have you been searching for me? Didn't you know that I would be involved in the things of my Father? There's a very subtle rebuke here for Mary. The Lord Jesus, note where he's discovered. He's in the temple. He's sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. If you're truly looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, the place where you're most likely to find him will be in the house of God. You're certainly more likely to find the Lord Jesus Christ in a place where he is worshipped and loved and adored than to find him at the side of a beach or on a golf course or beside your bed. I don't want to overstress this point, but if you're truly seeking for the Lord Jesus and you want a restoration of that fellowship that you once enjoyed with him, then my advice is to attend to the house of God, to the place where he is loved and adored and worshipped. And that is where he is likely to be present. He says that where two and three gather together in his name, and that he will be in the midst. Now, these are days in which church attendance is in rapid decline, and increasingly people put less and less importance to attending a church and being faithful to that attendance. But if you're serious about looking for the Lord Jesus, pick up your Bible and come to church. The house of God is a good place to find the Son of God. He's most likely to be found amongst his people than to be anywhere else. And so they found him in the temple. And having discovered him, note what he was doing. He's sitting amongst the doctors and the lawyers, and he's both hearing them and asking them questions. The youth, the Lord Jesus Christ, was no less divine as a young boy than he was when he hung upon the cross. And as he looked upon Mary, his mother, he asked her, "Why are you searching for me? Didn't you know that I would be involved in the business of my father?" Now obviously the Savior's not making reference to Joseph here and to the work of carpentry. He's referring to his heavenly father. And the business that he's employed in is a spiritual business. And they found the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple, involved in the work of his Father. And so if you want to get near to the Lord Jesus Christ and to stay in his presence, then go where he is to be found and get involved in the work that he's doing. And we'll find that those that love the Lord Jesus will love the things that he does also. And to be with him, and to be near him, and to be engaged in the work of the Father's house is to be found in his presence. In Psalm 51 is a psalm of repentance that David wrote following the exposure of his sin with Bathsheba. And it records for us his heartfelt confession. He admits his rebellion and his failure before the Lord. And there in verse 12 of Psalm 51, David writes this petition. He asked the Lord to restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now, he didn't ask for his salvation to be restored. That relationship is intact. He's asking for a restoration of the joy of salvation, for that to be returned to him. Mary and Joseph had not lost their role as parents to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those moments that they were separated from him, it wasn't their relationship that they'd lost, it was the joy of that relationship. They searched for him sorrowing. Their joy is restored when they find him again. When they find the one that had been missing from their lives. When we realize if at some point we have left the Lord Jesus behind, that we've allowed something or someone to interfere in our relationship with the Savior, and we've lost sight of him, we've missed his presence, we've wandered astray from him, and we are coming back looking for him, searching for him, sorrowing as we look for the Savior. If we want a return to that closeness and fellowship and joy in his presence, then we must seek him with our whole heart. May we find him in the Father's house and engaged in the Father's work, and may we be restored to the joy of the Lord's salvation, to that place of closeness and communion with him again. It's a tragic thing for anyone who professes and truly is a Christian to wander from the Lord and to miss out on the joy and the blessings that are to be found in our closeness to the Savior. Don't take another day's journey away from the Lord. Don't persevere on a course that takes you further from him and will need more repentance to turn from that course back to the Savior. Review your situation, examine your life, see how near the Savior is, and if there needs to be a return, then come quickly and come earnestly. And the Lord promises that when we seek him earnestly, that he will be found of us, and may we know the restoration and the joy of the Lord's salvation. May we come seeking for Jesus. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to our hearts this afternoon. Amen.